Good morning and welcome to God Talk. Today I continue with reading from a book that I have written called The Heart of Jesus and the Coming Relationships about the fact that I'm in a kind of a heart union with Christ, and I'm not the first one. In fact, I think this is going to become the next thing, like we had the Catholic Charismatic Renewal and the renewal of all churches with the Holy Spirit. This could be, and I pray it is, God's next action, which is predicted in the Hebrew Bible. It's there in the New Testament, and I've been reading some of the great saints who had this experience before me, thank heavens, so I'm not the only one that this has happened to. Anyhow, and by the way, the book is available on Amazon.com, The Heart of Jesus and the Coming Relationship. Today I'm going to finish, I've been reading now, there will be six saints who have experienced this heart union or heart fusion or heart transplant. There are different ways to describe it, but it's pretty much the same thing. First, I go to St. Catherine of Siena. She was born in 1347 and died in 1380. Didn't live long. Yet, Catherine accomplished a great deal in her brief stay on this earth. She had a charismatic force of personality, much like Saint Bernard, as we talked about earlier, which could persuade others to see things her way. She moved in extraordinary circles, extraordinarily wide circles, for an Italian woman in the 14th century. She influenced popes. She wrote hundreds of letters. She was a contemplative of great depth and vivid experiences. In 1366, while she was in her room, Catherine had a vision of a mystical marriage with Jesus, who was accompanied by his mother. Mary reportedly gave a ring to Jesus, who put it on Catherine's finger. And Catherine's book, The Dialogue, was the second book ever published by the first printing press, right after the Gutenberg Bible. Wow. She would become one of the 33 doctors of the Catholic Church, the second woman to be so honored. Now, St. Catherine also had a dramatic set of experiences surrounding a heart exchange with Jesus Christ. The blessed Raymond of Capua, who was Catherine's priest, confidant, and confessor, described these events in his biography, The Life of St. Catherine of Siena. Now, due to her importance to the Church and to my experience, I'm going to quote Raymond at some length. Here we go. Once, when she was praying to the Lord with the utmost fervor, saying to him, as the prophet had done, "Create a clean heart within me, O God, and renew a right spirit within my bowels," and asking him again and again to take her own heart and will from her, he comforted her with this vision. It appeared to her that her heavenly bridegroom came to her as usual, opened her left side, took out her heart, and then went away. This vision was so effective and agreed so well with what she felt inside herself in that confession, or in confession, she told her confessor that she no longer had a heart in her breast. He shook his head at this way of putting it, and in a joking way, reproved her. But she repeated it and insisted that she meant what she said. "Truly, Father," she said, "insofar as I feel anything at all, it seems to me that my heart has been taken away altogether. The Lord did indeed appear to me, opened my left side, took my heart out, and went away." Her confessor then pointed out that it is impossible to live without a heart, but the Virgin replied that nothing is impossible to God. Of course, as an aside, what do you say to that, right? And that she was convinced that she no longer had a heart. And for some time, she went on repeating this, that she was living without a heart. One day, while she was in the Church of the Preaching Friars, which the Sisters of Penance of St. Dominic in Siena used to attend, the others had gone out, but she went on praying. Finally, she came out of her ecstasy and got up to go home. All at once, a light from heaven encircled her. And in the light appeared the Lord, holding in his holy hands a human heart, bright red and shining. At the appearance of the Author of Light, she had fallen to the ground, trembling all over, but he came up to her, opened her left side once again, and put the heart he was holding in his hands inside her, saying, "Dearest daughter, as I took your heart away from you the other day, now you see, I am giving you mine so that you can go on living with it forever." With these words, he closed the opening he had made in her side, and as a sign of the miracle, a scar remained on that part of her flesh, as I and others were told by her companions who saw it. When I determined to get to the truth, she herself was obliged to confess to me that this was so. And she added that never afterwards had she been able to say, "Lord, I give you my heart." After the reception of this heart, then, in such a gracious and marvelous way, and from the abundance of its graces poured forth Catherine's great works and her most marvelous revelations came forth. In fact, she never approached the sacred altar without being shown many things beyond the range of the senses, especially when she received Holy Communion. She often saw a baby hidden in the hands of the priest. Sometimes it was a slightly older boy, or again she might see a burning fiery furnace into which the priest seemed to enter at the moment when he consumed the sacred species. When she herself received the most adorable sacrament, she would often smell such a strong, sweet smell that she almost fainted. Seeing or receiving the sacrament of the altar always generated fresh and indescribable bliss in her soul, so that her heart would very often throb with joy within her breast, making such a loud noise that it could be heard even by her companions. At last, having noticed this so often, they told her confessor, Fra Tommaso, about it. He made a close inquiry into the matter, and on finding it was true, left the fact in writing as an imperishable record. This noise bore no resemblance to the gurgling that goes on naturally in the human stomach. There was nothing natural about the noise at all. There is nothing surprising in the fact that a heart given in a supernatural way should act in a supernatural way too. For as the prophet says, "My heart and my flesh have rejoiced in the living God." That is to say, they have jumped out into the living God. The prophet says, "The living God," so to signify that this special beating or heart action being caused by the true life does not bring death to the person to whom it happens as it would in the ordinary course of nature, but life. After the miraculous exchange of hearts, the Virgin felt a different person. And she said to her confessor, Frau Tommaso, "Can't you see, Father, that I am not the person I was, but am changed into someone else?" And she went on, "If only you could understand how I feel, Father. I don't believe that anyone who really knew how I feel inside could be obstinate enough not to be softened, or be proud enough not to humble himself, for all that I reveal is nothing compared to what I feel." She described what she was experiencing, saying, "My mind is so full of joy and happiness that I'm amazed my soul stays in my body." And she said, and by the way, this is what's true for me, this next, "There is so much heat in my soul that this material fire seems cool by comparison. Rather than to be giving out heat, it seems to have gone out rather than to be still burning. And again, this heat has generated in my mind a renewal of purity and humility, so that I seem to have gone back to the age of 4 or 5. And at the same time, so much love of my fellow men has blazed up in me that I could face death for them cheerfully and with great joy in my heart." All this she told her confessor alone and in secret. But from others, she hid as much as she could. Okay, here am I, nearly 700 years later, so thankful for her path-generating words. I'm especially grateful about her depiction of inner heat and spiritual psychic energy brought about what I'm calling a fusion of Christ's heart with mine, simply because that is the closest description I found to what is in fact indescribable. I thank God she was there before me, a saint against whom to measure what God has been doing in me, one with whom I feel a special closeness. Okay, I need to add to my sense of closeness with yet another story of a strange encounter. Totally unexpected, as was the time the picture of Jesus was different and he was offering me his Sacred Heart. This time it is with Saint Catherine. My wife and I visited Italy in July of 2002. This was a year before the breakthrough in 2003. We spent 3 days in Siena. On our first day, while she was shopping nearby, I walked through the grounds where Saint Catherine had lived, including Saint Dominic's Basilica. As I passed through that beautiful, ornate sanctuary, having at that point little knowledge of St. Catherine, and by the way, the church was totally empty, I saw an apparent severed head reverently boxed above the altar. I did not know it belonged to St. Catherine. Oh yeah, my friends, there's her skull is reverently on top of the altar. Okay. All I knew was that her eyes were open and glowing, staring right at me, laser-like, piercing my heart. I can close my eyes and still see those eyes looking at me. The hairs went up on the back of my neck, so I kept on walking, quickly exiting the sanctuary. Wouldn't you be spooked? Later that day, I took my wife through the grounds in the sanctuary. I did not tell her what had happened to me the first time around. I wondered if she would see what I had seen earlier. This time, however, the eyes of the saint were not glowing, but closed. Well, in my naivety, I simply assumed that they must be lighted only at certain times. After my heart fusion with Christ's heart, however, I think Catherine may have been looking at me like Jesus looked at me in the painting reported above. Her eyes were luminously penetrating. It was as if she really saw me. Was she aware that we would have the heart of Christ in common more than 700 years later? That we would share in the Sacred Heart? Let's take a short break for the weather. Okay, we're back. That was quite an experience that I just shared. Wow. I next turn to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. She was born in 1647 and she died in 1690. Once again, a short life for a saint. And she's the person with whom the Lord not only exchanged hearts, but subsequently commanded her to establish the tradition of the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ. She's the major figure in what would become so central to the Catholic Church. Like St. Catherine centuries before her, Margaret, a member of the Sisters of the Visitation in France, had dramatic encounters with Jesus, including an exchanging of hearts. She reported the following as her first, quote, great revelation, unquote, concerning the Sacred Heart, which occurred on December 29th, 1673, which was the Feast of John the Beloved Disciple. These are her words. Once when I was before the Blessed Sacrament, I was suddenly completely surrounded by the Divine Presence. It was so intense, I lost my sense of who and where I was. I abandoned myself to the Spirit, yielding my heart to the power of His love. He made me rest for a long time on His divine breast, where He showed me the marvels of His love and the unspeakable secrets of His Sacred Heart, which had always been hidden before. He opened them to me there for the first time in such a real and tangible way. Even though I am always afraid of deceiving myself about what I say happens inside me, I could not doubt what was happening because of the effects that the grace produced in me. By the way, I concur with that. God can be so powerfully near that you simply cannot doubt. Okay, back to Margaret. This is what seemed to happen to me. He said to me, "My divine heart is so impassioned with love for humanity, and especially for you, it cannot contain the flames of its burning charity inside. It must be spread, or it must spread them through you and show itself to humanity, so that they may be enriched by the previous treasures that I share with you. Treasures which have all the sanctifying and saving graces needed to draw them back from the abyss of destruction." Let me quick add, that's where we are today, worldwide. I feel we are at an abyss of destruction, and the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ can save us. That's okay, that little aside. Back to Margaret. "I have chosen you as an abyss of unworthiness and ignorance to accomplish this great work, so that everything will be done by me." Afterwards, he asked for my heart. I begged him to take it, and he did. Placing it in his own adorable heart, he let me see it there like a little atom consumed in a burning furnace. Then he returned it to me as a burning heart-shaped flame, and placed it where it had been, saying, Here is a precious token of my love, my beloved. This will enclose a tiny spark of living flame within your side. It will serve as your heart and consume you until your last moment. Its intensity will be so unyielding that you will be unable to find relief, except briefly by bleeding. This gets a little hard here, folks. But a lot of the saints suffered, don't forget that, as God suffers for us. I will mark it so with the blood of my own cross that it will bring you more humiliation and suffering than comfort. That is why I want you to ask for it in all simplicity, so that you can practice what is asked of you and be given the joy of shedding your blood on the cross of humiliation. And to prove that the grace I have just given is not imaginary and is the foundation of all others, I intend to give you. The pain in your side will always remain, even though I have closed the wound. If up to now you have only been called my slave, now I give you the name, beloved disciple of my Sacred Heart. Now, though Jesus' prophetic words were painful at the end, the exchange of hearts described by Margaret Mary inaugurated other great revelations, which would eventuate in the establishment of the devotion to and adoration of the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ in the Catholic Church. Of this devotion, much has been written and much has been made over the centuries following St. Margaret Mary's encounters with Christ. But again, I am seeking to report only actual exchanges with rather than merely devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Let me say a word about the devotion. The tradition of the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ, which we just reported St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, is perhaps the principal founder under Christ's direct guidance, exercised enormous influence in the Catholic Church for about 300 years, at least until Vatican II in the 1960s, when the focus of the spirituality shifted to the sacraments, especially to the centrality of the Eucharist. The tradition consisted of devotional practices, both private and public, such as taking communion on the first Friday of every month, which continues in many Catholic churches worldwide, coupled with Christ's promises of specific benefits for devotion to and consecration of one's heart to Christ's Sacred Heart. Paralleling Margaret in the 17th century was St. John Eudes, who was a masterful theologian and writer of church liturgy for use in worshiping the Sacred Heart. Eudes was influenced by Francis de Sales, a Catholic theologian and saint who also had a passion for the Sacred Heart in his writings and his life. While neither of these saints reported a heart exchange with Christ, de Sales developed an elegant theology about the Sacred Heart of Jesus, going back to the Gospels and the crucifixion itself, to the moment when the Roman soldier, his spear was thrust into the side of the already deceased Savior, into his heart, releasing a stream of both blood and water. Francis understood this to be the moment of the self-giving of Christ's love and spirit to the world, when in death the seed of Christ would be planted into the soil of human hearts, continuing to yield harvest after harvest of fruit beyond counting. These visionaries saw the coming union of the human heart with the heart of Jesus in the divine plan. Francis had a vivid sense of an eventual, quote, interconnected world of hearts, end quote, meaning the hearts of God and humanity being brought into union in the crucified heart of Jesus. I think that's right on. I think that's what's coming. That's what's happened to me. That's what I believe is going on in the Bible. And we're now ready to learn about this heart, this, you know, I'm now writing a book. I'm going to just take a minute to tell you about. By the way, if you want to hear this radio broadcast again, I will have it on my website this morning, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. And I'm really enjoying doing it, excited. The title of the book is 3-Minute Prayer Retreats, Interludes with God. This began, I simply wanted to do brief prayer podcasts, 3 minutes, because our attention span, let's face it, is not as long as it used to be. And with YouTubes and podcasts, 3 minutes seems to be the magic number. Much more than that, people don't want to take the time. Anyhow, it's amazing, as I say, in both the oral and the written part, it's amazing what God can do in 3 minutes. So I invite you to take a listen at my website to any of the podcasts that's teaching you how to pray in simple ways, breath prayers, like breathing in, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, Lord Jesus Christ. Breathing in, this is the great Jesus prayer, the prayer of the heart in the Eastern Orthodox tradition. Breathing in, Lord Jesus Christ, breathing out, have mercy on me. Or breathing in the word love, the love of God, breathing in love and breathing out fear, letting go of fear. Love has been called a letting go of fear. And as John says in 1 John 4, perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to do with punishment, and those who fear are not made perfect in love. And the word that's used for perfect means mature. When you're mature enough, you realize there's really nothing to fear. So I invite you to check out those podcasts, and next week I will continue as we're sort of winding down toward the end of this book, The Heart of Jesus and the Coming Relationship, which again is available on Amazon.com, as is its companion book, which I have read from, and I will again title Closer Than Your Own Eye, Meditations on Union with God. Union with God is the goal of prayer. Not just getting this or that from God, but getting God, the ultimate end of our heart's desire. So check it out, my friends. God bless you.